You're listening to Let's Talk, a bi-weekly supplement to our regular podcast, Because You Watched, where we talk movies, films, and cinema, or whatever we're obsessed with at the moment. As always, I'm Charlie.
And I'm Francesco.
Francesco, let's talk. That's fun. That's a bit of fun. All right, play the trailer.
What do we say?
Now.
Children, put down that antenna.
I'm blinded by such beauty.
How can I compete? You're twice the woman I am.
Look, a new chapter.
Yes. Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job.
All right, The Addams Family is a 1991 film directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. When an evil doctor finds out Uncle Fester has been missing for 25 years, he introduces a fake Fester in an attempt to get the Addams Family's money. Wednesday has some doubts about the new Uncle Fester, but the fake uncle adapts very well to the strange family. Okay, fuck this synopsis, because it's not a real doctor, and they refer to the doctor as a he, and it's Dr. Greta, it's Elizabeth Wilson's character. I think maybe they're confusing Abigail Craven, who's a fake doctor, with Dan Hedaya, who's the family's lawyer.
It's, well, Letterboxd synopsis, they come from TMDB, which is, it's user written, but not just anybody can edit it. Like, you need permission to edit stuff, so I don't know. Sometimes you find some weird synopsis on
but
that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a misgendering as a statement.
Well, you know who's not transphobic? The Addams Family. They're great.
In the sequel, they're definitely not. We don't know in the first one. They might have had a change of heart in the intervening years.
Fair, but
no, I refuse to
I don't
believe
expect
their
them
terms.
To be. Yeah. If anything, that should be the most queer inclusive suburban American family there is.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about both the Addams Family and Addams Family Values in this episode, but we're going to start by talking about the first film and then move on to the second one, and then we can talk a bit about how they compare to each other. So I had never seen this film until today, and I had kind of always thought that Addams Family Values was just the name of the film, and then the sequel had a different name.
Same, honestly.
And just to shoot my shot here, I think I'm in the majority that believes that Addams Family Values is a superior film, and you disagree.
I don't know which one is a superior film, because they both do different things. I prefer the first one. It's just the one that I vibed with more, to use a scientific term.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think that one of the problems I sort of have with the first one, a film I did really enjoy, is that it kind of does the thing that a lot of feature films based on TV shows, particularly sitcoms, do, where the first film is sort of a repilot, a sort of setting up the environment and the characters, rather than giving you an adventure with the characters already settled.
True, it's basically the whole film is a reintroduction of Fester into the family, and through the fact that Fester, are we spoiling things here? Maybe, maybe not. But through the fact that we have someone who's pretending to be Fester but isn't actually Fester.
That's in the first, you know, part of the movie. I don't think that's a big spoiler. Plus, it's in the synopsis I just read.
True. It's honestly not that big a reveal.
Okay,
like,
here's another thing. That first movie kind of doesn't really have a plot.
No. But yeah, so Fester, who is pretending to be Fester, is actually the real Fester who's lost his memories.
Okay, so Gordon Craven is the son of this sort of low-scale mobster, Abigail Craven. And Dan Hedaya's lawyer character, Tully, realizes that Gordon looks exactly like Fester, who has disappeared 25 years ago. So he poses as Fester. Because he is the older brother of Gomez, he is actually in line to inherit all the Addams Family money and can then ban them from the house in order to pay off Dan Hedaya's debts. It's needlessly complicated.
For a kid's film, it is. I think if I saw this as a child, I would not have understood anything. Watching it as an adult, I was okay with it. It was mostly like, okay, we're gonna use the fact that he's the older brother to get their money, is the long and short of it.
You know that him being the older brother was invented for this film.
Okay.
In the original show, he is Morticia's uncle. So he's like a different generation.
So he's not Wednesday and Pugsley's uncle, is Morticia's uncle.
Exactly, yeah.
Which kind of, predates the fact that in the future years, and we've seen, you know, a massive example of that this year, the focus of the Addams Family has shifted more towards the kids, and Wednesday especially.
Well, no one really cares about Pugsley, except for how he interacts with Wednesday.
Exactly, but, you know, they, and Wednesday in particular, has become the audience surrogate rather than Gomez and Morticia being the central characters.
Yeah, and I think that starts with the Addams Family, again, because Christina Ricci just plays the character so differently to how it's been done before, which is, she's kind of like a sweet, energetic little girl who loves all the things. Yeah, like the gothic stuff.
I mean,
the Addams Family.
In the first one, she's just a little baby. She's so cute. Then the second one, which we get to later, she's already a teenager,
well,
so she's got some acting chops.
She's 10 years old.
Yeah.
When they made it, which, like, amazing. And she is so, that character is so, like, lived in. I think she does such a good job.
Yeah, but she's also a little baby.
I mean, that's what's so funny about it. But she totally reinvents that character, and whether it's Chloe Moretz in the animated films. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's Jenna Ortega in Wednesday, everything starts with Christina Ricci in a way that the other characters are more continuations of the TV show.
Yeah.
And I think the way that Ricci plays it as, I am sort of a younger, colder version of my mother, is a really good way to do it.
Mm. Which becomes more explicit in the sequel.
With
her love subplot being with a smaller version of Gomez, in a way.
Yeah, which, I've got thoughts about that guy.
Yeah, but I don't know, the first one is closer to me probably is because I think Gomez and Morticia are so iconic. I think they're by miles the best part of the first film. And we were talking about this a little off mic, but I do agree that it was okay for them to take a sideline in the second one, because otherwise it would have been an over-repetition of the same gags.
Yeah, and like, you do still have the same gags of them saying a bunch of horrible things. Are you in pain? Is it horrible? Yes, it's amazing. And stuff like that.
I've got the quotes up here.
Yeah, do you want to read them? And like, even the second film, it is repetitive, but it's still really funny.
Oh, there's one of the best scenes in the movie.
I'll be Morticia, you be Gomez.
Okay.
When we first met years ago, it was an evening much like this. Magic in the air. Boy.
A girl.
An open grave was my first funeral.
You were so beautiful, pale and mysterious. No one even looked at the corpse. I mean, like, and this point has been made ad nauseum, but the Addams Family are meant to be a funhouse mirror version of the typical suburban American family. You know, they were originally like cartoon strips of
New
Yorker.
Charles Addams, they were like one panel strips. The characters didn't have names until the TV show. And a lot of the designs of them are used in the animated film that came out a couple of years ago, which people didn't particularly like, but particularly like Wednesday's design. And then the TV show obviously expanded them and gave more whole personalities and expanded the dynamics a lot more.
Well, yeah, and the original comic strips were, you know, jokes like they're sitting by the window when it's raining and they go, oh, it's such a beautiful day outside.
Yeah.
Like almost like the opposite version of, you know, the ideal.
It's an inversion of traditional values.
Exactly. Including the fact that the two, the married couple actually loves each other and has they're open about their sexuality and healthy sex.
I don't know if the original cartoon like was as horny as this film.
No, but this is an extension of
Sure.
And, you know, it's not unlike The Simpsons, which is interesting, because The Simpsons are meant to satirize more the typical American family, but they also have this element of you know, Homer and Marge loving each other very much, without which the thing kind of falls apart.
Yeah, I think the difference is that The Simpsons is specifically a parody of the sitcom family rather than the American family at large. And I also think that the convention that it's portraying of, in a lot of sitcoms, especially, you know, of the time, you have sort of the man who is, you know, really like complacent and lazy, and somehow his wife hasn't left him despite being far too good for him. And I think particularly the early season of Simpsons does sort of pushes that. And I would argue maybe now it doesn't really work because it's been going on so long, as so much in The Simpsons does.
Yeah.
Whereas Gomez and Morticia, at least in this film, what it does is show a married couple that have been married for over a decade who still find each other irresistible.
And if anything, in terms of their gender dynamics, Gomez strikes me more as a stay-at-home dad type of person.
Well, I mean, it's inherited wealth. They all stay at home. And also they hate going outdoors.
Well, but it's just, I don't really see Morticia spending time with the kids or changing diapers. I see Gomez as the one who does that. I mean, they don't change their diapers because, you know, there's no need for that in that family. But
no, but also, like, they have a butler, they have a grandma, and they have a hand that goes around.
Hand,
does
yeah.
the hand change nappies?
It would take significant skill, but it can be done. You can change nappies with a hand. Yes?
If your whole life is you're just one hand, I feel like you'd make do.
Yeah, you develop the skills. The mystery around their wealth is so interesting. There's a bit in the first film where they're shown putting one of their invaluable inherited items up for auction.
At a charity auction.
And then they just bid for it.
But they bid against each other?
They bid against
each
other.
The only bidders are Gomez and Morticia?
Because it makes them horny to try and outbid each other, and they basically make out at the auction house. Those two are fantastic.
Raul Julia. And obviously Angelica Houston.
Yeah, and they're so perfectly cast. And the context for which I chose to talk about this, because I saw this a few weeks ago with my partner, who has been a huge fan of this since they were a kid, and recommended watching it to me. And when I watched it with them, I realized, oh yeah, I see why they're into me, because I'm basically I'm the Gomez that they've been looking for since they were a kid.
Well, because you have a moustache and you're Southern European.
Well, Gomez's nationality is so interesting because he has a Spanish name. Hispanic actor, but when he dirty talks with Morticia, he speaks Italian, and he also drives a gondola at one point in the first film.
Although Adams isn't a Spanish name.
No, but Gomez is.
No, I know Gomez is, but it's funny that his like first name is Gomez and his last name is Adams. So it's like they're a Spanish family called Adams, and also Fester, who's his brother, doesn't have the same accent.
Well, he's not canonically his brother.
That's
true. For this film, there's also that scene where he does the pseudo-Russian dance.
The mamushka.
I think it's in the second one where he dances the flamenco, where you're like, okay, that makes sense. He's Gomez, he's dancing the flamenco.
I mean, my read on it is just that the Adams family has a lot of different nationalities in it.
Another read is like...
They're very open to multiculturalism within members of their family.
And another more cynical read is like their old money. A lot of the stuff that they inherited from previous generations is probably like colonial artifacts.
Maybe,
It doesn't make them themselves,
colonialists. My read of it is kind of, if his last name's Adams, but his first name is Gomez, implying that he had at least one Spanish or Hispanic parent. Mm-hmm. His mother's Spanish and his father is, you know, part of the Adams family.
Yeah, and he speaks a multitude of different languages. But his catchphrase to Morticia, mia cara, or cara mia, is Italian, to which she replies, mon cher, French.
Yeah, she's not playing French, though. She just...
That's her dirty talk.
Yeah,
that's
they're just multilingual horn dogs.
Yeah,
they're polyglots.
What's another quote from them? I'm just gonna throw them out every now and then. There was one near the end. Oh yeah, when she's put in a torture machine that pulls her limbs apart, and she just gets very horny and tells the guy, "You've done this before, haven't you?" And then Gomez swoops in to save her, and it's something like, "Oh my God, leather straps, red hot pokers, leather straps," and she just goes, "Later, love, later."
I think there's a line in the second one where she refers to herself as the old ball and chain, and he says, "I still have those."
There's also one where they're doing a toast, and it's something like, "To horror, to suffering, to pain, tonight." They're so kinky. And I'm ashamed of it. But it's portrayed as healthy and positive.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
The root of healthy marriage and healthy family life are all there, but the aesthetics are different. That's, I think, the charm of the Addams Family.
And they embrace that. It's, you know, it's mostly played for laughs, that they're into pain, they're into horror, they're into inflicting harm on each other. When it's framed as kink, that's also part of the celebration of a healthy, open sexuality between a married couple who's willing to experiment.
I think as much as it's a celebration of, you know, the gothic and the dark and the macabre, I think it's also a embrace of transgression itself. I think that the whole point of it and why so many people relate to these characters is that they are using the traditional structure of a family as a means to explore their own interests and their own, you know, unusual interests.
Which the second film makes very explicit.
It absolutely does. And before we move on to the second film, we talk talked a bit about the fact that it's revealed that it was Fester all along. What do you think of that reveal and also the way that it's done? Because it was sort of, I think it was mainly Christopher Lloyd and Christina Ricci that like were really pushing Barry Sonnenfeld during filming. Can we make it explicit that this is the real Uncle Fester? Because it's, you know, it's important to our characters that this is who it is. I don't love that it is just sort of tossed off in the final part of the film.
Agreed.
It could be more neatly interwoven.
I saw it coming because that's the only way you keep Christopher Lloyd for sequels. But that's, you know, it's a meta read.
I kind of disagree, and we'll get to this a bit more in the second one. But I almost think that him being a fake Fester would be in line with the Addams Family values.
They embrace him anyway.
Because he is a member. He's not their Fester, but he is Fester.
Yeah.
Or he is a member of their family because he cares about them in the same way they care about him and care about Fester. He does grow to care about them. I don't know how you really square that, especially if you're going to do a sequel that doesn't continue to explore that.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you're going to do what they did, I think there was maybe a neater way to do it.
Agreed. I think it's, either what you just described, you make him not the real Fester, or you interweave it into a narrative in a way that
it's more of a mystery.
Or it's more of a mystery, but or it actually matters to the plot. So the catalyst for him regaining his memories is being struck by lightning. Make it so that the catalyst is when he sees Gomez or Morticia being put into danger, then his memories resurface. Make him have his memories slowly resurface throughout the film, which they kind of do, but it's not explicit enough. Yeah, it's just treated as a throwaway thing, which is actually quite funny. Like, I like that the ending is like, he gets struck by lightning, then cut away to sometime later, and they're just, I guess I was faster all along, and I'm immune to electricity now, and it's just another Tuesday for them, everything that happened. I think that's funny, but narratively it's a bit anticlimactic.
Yeah, I just wonder if you could bake it in earlier, am I the real Fester?
Yeah, we'll make him more...
Make it more ambiguous early on.
And it will give him some more conflict, because the conflict that he has is he's really happy and he feels like he belongs in the family, but he can't quite put his finger onto why. And he has this abusive surrogate mother who he thinks is
his real mother.
Yeah, who is, you know, dragging him along. He doesn't feel like he's in charge of his own actions throughout the film.
And I think just sort of his lack of autonomy, it's not frustrating in the sense I wish he stood up for himself more. It's just sort of, if he's going to be Fester all along, I feel like that character needs to have more centrality and more agency.
And he's also like functionally the only character with an arc in the film.
Exactly.
And it's so, like, if I'm following a character arc, I want the character to be the artifice of that arc. I don't want the arc to be him being dragged around through it.
Yeah, I mean, he's also the only character with an arc in the second, really.
True.
Except maybe Wednesday. But I feel like he has a lot more agency in the second film. Or at least he is more central to his own arc.
Yeah. Although the second film does recycle the whole let's use Fester as a ploy to get access to the family money type of thing. But it does it differently enough that it feels very fresh.
Go ahead!
What news? Father, what is it?
It's an Addams.
Paramount Pictures invites you to welcome the new arrival.
Hey, kiddo.
Did you see that?
This is Mr. Linsky, our new nanny.
What do we say?
Be afraid.
The new adventure.
Summer camp.
Life saving!
I'll be the victim.
All your life.
And the new romance.
I'm engaged.
That ring?
It was our mother's. She was buried with it.
So you still desire me after all this time? The old ball and chain.
Forever.
I'll get them.
Addams Family Values is a 1993 film directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. Siblings Wednesday and Pugsley Addams will stop at nothing to get rid of Pubert, their new baby boy, adored by parents Gomez and Morticia. Things go from bad to worse when the new Black Widow nanny, Debbie Jelinski, launches her plan to add Fester to her collection of dead husbands. Okay.
Debbie.
I love Debbie.
She's great.
Okay, when Debbie first turns up and Gomez and Morticia greet her, were you getting Throuple vibes?
Throuple? Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Well, I kind of understood their attraction to Fester. I kind of believed her at the beginning. It's revealed almost immediately that she's pretending to be in love with him for the money. But when you first see her walk in and be so both charmed and...
Also unflappable.
And unflappable regarding, you know, all the family's weirdness after, you know, one of my favorite movie tropes, which is the montage of job interviews with different nannies, all get put off or put them off by being too nice.
Have you seen Shallow Grave?
No.
It's a Danny Boyle film. There's a similar scene where they do that with potential flatmates, and it is really funny. It's when it's done well, there is nothing better than just like a montage of one scene characters. Go on, sorry.
No, but that's it. It's you believe that she might be into Pastor for real, and you believe that she might want to be part of the family for real before the, you know, her true intentions are revealed.
And you also kind of hope that even though she is after the money, that she might grow to like Fester.
True, which was, you know, kind of Fester's arc in the previous film.
Exactly. That people can grow to understand and love the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Debbie doesn't.
No. Which works for the film, but the other version works as well.
I mean, I do like it just being kind of unapologetically evil. Also, the fact that she has a slideshow prepared to show her evil plan while she's about to murder the Addams Family.
Yeah, aren't they impatient about being murdered as well? Like, they question the fact that she's giving a speech, or am I misremembering that?
But I think what that character does, and I think it's, again, a continuation of stuff in the first film, is that it establishes that even though, like, the aesthetics of the Addams Family are reversed from what you would normally expect, their morality isn't malleable in that way. Yes, they're very nice, and I think they can even be very forgiving, but they're not, they don't turn around and say, no, you can be part of our family, you know, we understand, you know, because I wondered if that's where it was going, and I think the choice to, you know, have her die in a horrible accident, spoilers, I think it does sort of underline that they're not, their views on, like, the world and how to treat people aren't different. Their views on how people should look and act are different. And I think that's an important distinction when it comes to the Addams Family. I do have a continuity question. So Fester, in order to, like, look more like a husband Debbie can be seen with, wears, like, a wig and, like, a Miami Vice outfit, and he has, like, a turtleneck. But we've established in the last film that he can grow hair, and that he shaves his head.
Yeah, which makes the whole...
Because Fester is shown to be, like, bald from birth.
Yeah, I think, which makes the whole him being the real Fester all along feel like a retcon.
Well, it is a retcon.
Yeah.
It was decided, like, through filming.
Yeah, so originally he was meant to not be the real Fester, so he was meant to be a guy who can grow hair and shave in it.
Also, when he talks about, like, oh, he's wanted for years, what Gomez and Morticia had, and, like, I thought you hadn't seen them for 25 years. I don't even know if you'd met Morticia before.
Oh, yeah, well, it's...
So it's like there's some... It's almost... It plays fast and loose with the continuity of the first film, which is fine. I don't really care.
I think, yeah, it's almost like, yeah, the retcon, bad idea they had at the beginning of the first film.
I'm only bringing it up because we're talking about them as a sequel.
Yeah, and we both watched them back to back. So.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about the fact that in this film, in Addams Family Values, when Fester gets removed and isolated from his family, Gomez developed these, like, psychosomatic symptoms, like he's about to die.
For one scene.
Yeah, but... Sorry, there's that scene where Morticia goes to a doctor and the doctor's like, what, he's pale, he's sickly, he's coughing blood, and Morticia goes like, not like he used to.
It's the same joke, but just done in inventive ways.
But you can make the argument that Fester being separated from his family for 25 years genetically modifies him to the point where he's growing hair now, you know, but then being reset into the family brings him back into his real body.
I mean, I do like the idea that Fester abandoning his family, it sort of triggers a relapse into how you imagine maybe Gomez felt the first time he disappeared, and that it's lingering trauma of being separated from his brother for all that time. And you kind of also see it in his depression in the first film, in Gomez's depression in the first film, once he thinks he's been betrayed by his brother.
Yeah.
So I think the two reactions are linked. But yeah, I love Addams Family Values just a bit more. I think that the plot, it's hitting the same themes and the same sort of premise, but I just think it's kind of a neater plot.
Well, there's the whole elephant in the room, which is the summer camp subplot.
Oh yeah, that's which I love.
Which is gonna get me on a rant about the Wednesday show, because do you know what the premise of the Wednesday show is?
Yeah, she goes to boarding school.
Because she is rebellious, and yeah, she rebels against her parents, and she gets sent to a weird kids boarding school, which is kind of this like YA fantasy type of setting. Now, Wednesday rebelling against her parents, the way that would manifest is if she were behaving like a blonde-haired classic American girl. She wanted to stop being a goth. But the show doesn't really do that. It wants to keep the Wednesday that we know, but also make it so that she has strife with her parents for whatever reason. But in this film, she gets sent to summer camp as a ploy by the villain. They don't want to send her there. She doesn't want to go there. And the horror of the summer camp is that it's like wealthy, suburban, Republican and blonde American kids. Like the opposite of what she is.
And you want her to get out of there as quickly as possible rather than find her place there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there is no place for her there.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the show, like, either it does that, what Addams Family Values did, make her the fish out of water, or, like, if you want to make her rebel and give her a character arc, make it so that for the first couple of episodes, she wants to dye her hair blonde and play with dolls, and that's the arc that she has to go through.
Now, did you recognize the camp counselor?
Yeah, from Dracula, Dead and Loving
Girl. Yeah, it's Peter McNichol. Your favorite.
Oh, he's so good.
He is very funny in this. But it's like, that's, I knew when I saw, even though I don't like his performance in Dracula, Dead and Loving It, he's a very funny actor. And he's really funny in this. Christine Baranski is also in it. Broadway legend Christine Baranski is his wife.
Yeah, but like, you know, whereas the previous film, my favorite quotes are from Gomez and Morticia, here a lot of them are centered around summer camp. There's a very famous one that I think was shared on Twitter so many times a while ago, which is why Morticia brings her to summer camp and goes,
Wednesday's at that age where she's only interested in one thing.
Boys. Homicide.
It's so good.
Oh, God.
We're not just going to spend this whole episode you just reading lines from the IMDb quotes page.
Oh, it's so good. Like, she starts a race war where they're doing this Thanksgiving play where some kids are playing the Pilgrims, other kids are playing the Native Americans. The Chippewas is what they call, okay. But all the kids of color, Jewish kids, disabled kids are cast as the Native Americans, and all the blonde wealthy kids are cast as pilgrims. And Wednesday uses that excuse to start a racial rebellion on stage. And the speech she gives, I don't want to read it out because it'd be a spoiler. It's such a great moment.
Also, I just want to point out, she's cast as Pocahontas, who wasn't at the first Thanksgiving. She died 4 years before the first Thanksgiving, quite historically.
But I just love, like, how explicitly, like, just how explicitly Republican the camp, the summer camp people are. It's great.
Have you seen Wednesday?
No, I've only seen clips of it, and I know of the premise. Lawrence was walking me through the first episode as we were watching this, and pointing out what they didn't like about the adaptation. But honestly, like, you know, this might actually be a good point to ask them to send us a voice note with their thoughts on Addams Family, Addams Family Values, and maybe Wednesday as well, since they've actually seen it, unlike us. So, Lawrence, what are your thoughts?
Da-na-na-na. 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 Hello, listeners. Today I'm here to do one of the many things I do best, which is to discuss the early 1990s Addams Family films and why I think they're great. So great, in fact, I forced my partner Francesco to watch them back to back. I'd say my most clever explanation as to why these films are so good is how they managed to encapsulate the best aspects of Charles Addams' original New Yorker cartoons and the 1960s TV series, while also elevating the weaker and underdeveloped aspects as well. Each screenplay very neatly spotlights the dark comedy punchlines that feel reminiscent of the cartoon's one-liners, even at times giving them episodic interludes of setup and payoff that don't feel like they're taking away time from the overarching plots, even if they don't necessarily move the story along. The films hugely build upon the TV series foundations in fleshing out Gomez and Morticia's relationship, but also fix on the TV series' biggest issue in being tonally too zany and playing it way too safe, with less emphasis on the macabre. There's an overall updated edge and wittiness to the dark humor and satire in these films. Lastly, the films hugely redefined the standard characterizations of Morticia and Wednesday in every adaptation thereafter, the Netflix Wednesday TV series being a major example of this. Adding on from that, there's really no overestimating how the performances of each lead actor adds to the long-lasting appeal of these films. It's easy to say Morticia and Gomez are couple goals on paper, but you actually feel the romance, the passion, the devotion between these characters to the fullest extent when you watch Raul Julia and Angelica Houston share the screen. It was truly an irreplaceable kind of on-screen chemistry that we have not seen the likes of since in any other on-screen portrayals of these characters. And to get all sentimental and wish-washy for just a moment, as someone who's largely been nonconformist and an outsider from the hegemonic culture in so many aspects of my identity, from my love of the goth subculture to being queer, these films have always provided me a comforting space for me to indulge in the Addams' complete comfort in their own weirdness and eccentricities, and the dream that you can build a family around a shared love of all the things that make the broader conservative society side-eye you. Lastly, I gotta throw in my two cents on the Netflix Wednesday series, which is that it disappoints me how it draws more from every cliché 2010s YA genre trope than it does from the Addams Family source material or the films, but I will hand it to Jenna Ortega for killing that dance scene. It was the most worthwhile thing to watch in that whole series. Really though, for anyone thinking of watching the series before checking out the 1990s films, I'd just say, please don't. You should watch the films first. It's a better use of your time, and the content will feel more consistent, more fresh, and inspired than the series ever could.
So funny.
So funny. So good. So good.
That's the reason why I'm dating them.
That's true.
Other than the, you know,
Gomez and Morticia level sex. You know,
yeah, other than the leather straps and rattle pokers whole thing, which is not real in case their brother or parents are listening to this. We don't do any of that. We're not married yet. We're waiting.
Good. I need to find my own homicidal, husband-murdering nanny played by Joan Cusack.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention you're the fester in this relationship.
I am the fester.
Because you're bald.
Yeah, and single. Also, speaking of the cast, one of my favourite actors is in Addams Family Values. So Carol Kane replaces Judith Malina, playing the grandma. And we have spoken about her on this podcast before. She plays Gittle in Hester Street.
Oh, wow. I didn't recognize her.
She is, honestly, whenever there is, like, a kooky old lady, there is, like, a 75% chance it's Carol Kane.
Yeah.
You know, Kimmy Schmidt, Princess Bride, all the above.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing it now.
Obviously with a big, like, witch's nose. I think she's really... I think Judith Malina's great. But I, there is something very special about any Carol Kane performance for me. But yeah, I feel like I'd still, you know, forsake my family to be with Joan Cusack in this film.
It could cause my death, you know that.
I think it would be worth it. I think it would more likely cause my death.
Well, possibly, but he survives all of the murder attempts.
Which, like, is so funny. And he doesn't notice that they're murder attempts.
No. It's just what people do to each other in the family. I mean, have you seen Wednesday and Pugsley with that baby?
Oh, God. Also, the baby, like, is made up early to, like, look like a little Gomez.
Yeah.
The baby Pubert.
Pubert.
Which is funny. But, like, with the slick hair and the tiny moustache, he looks a bit like a baby Hitler.
He kind of does. He looks like a baby Chaplin.
No, because baby Chaplin, you need the hat. And Hitler, you have the slick... And he has, like, the slick hair.
Oh, but yeah, speaking of changing family dynamics, also changing their physiognomy, when Fester leaves, the baby turns into a blonde-haired, angelic...
Like, laughing baby.
Yeah, and Morticia's horrified. And then she's sitting in his room, and somehow his room has also changed from, like, a crypt to there's, like, paintings of stars and unicorns on the walls. So it's like, okay, who repainted the room?
It's really funny. And also, Wednesday actually has a love interest in this film.
Yeah, whose name escapes me.
Yeah, me too. Let me just get it for you. It's something very Jewish.
Joel? Joel Glicker?
Yeah, Joel Glicker, that's it. And, like, he looks like a Joel Glicker.
It does.
Something I wanted to say is in the final, like, bit of the film where I think it's a birthday party for Fester.
Yeah.
And Joel, for some reason, is dressed like Gomez.
Yeah, and he espouses a lot of the same mannerisms. I read that as, I can fully believe that Gomez, this Gomez, when he was 12, was a little nerd.
Sure, because he also established in the first film that Fester was the ladies' man.
Yes, exactly. So that Gomez had to go through a growth spurt, and, you know, puberty did him a lot of favours, let's put it like that. But he was a little nerdy, four-eyed, little skinny child before that. I can fully believe that.
But I do think that if you're trying to make a girl like you, the move isn't to dress up like her dad.
If you want to try and make most people like you, the move is to imitate the parent of whichever gender they're attracted to.
But maybe they're... Because she is such, like, a young Morticia, is it logical then for him to try to be the young Gomez to that?
I do read it as him trying to be. I read it more as his...
Well, of course he's trying to be. He can't grow a real moustache.
Yeah, but it's, you know...
I will also say he keeps his glasses on, which means he looks less like Gomez and more like Groucho Marx.
That's true.
He looked a lot... I was like, why is he dressed like Groucho Marx? Oh, wait, no, he's trying to be Gomez.
Well, I don't know. I read it more as that being his inner romantic side, being very similar to Gomez's. And, you know, like, he's 12. He doesn't have many role models to base his...
No, and his parents are horrible.
Yeah.
I really like both these films. I do think that the second one is the tighter film. To say that one is better than the other is kind of not... I don't think it's fully necessary. I understand that people can like one more than the other, but I do think I am in the majority for thinking that the second one maybe has more staying power.
Fair. I think the first one is the one you go to for, I think, the better individual character moments. The second one has a tighter plot, but it's also juggling a couple too many subplots for my liking.
The first one is... The summer camp, the baby, Festa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the first one has one plot, which isn't great. It's got
choppy.
All holes in it, but it's still... When you watch the first one, you don't really care about the plot. The second one makes you care more about the plot, but also puts it a bit more under scrutiny.
I appreciate that. Mm. No, I do get what you're saying. But yeah, should we talk availability?
For sure.
Okay, so if you want to watch the first Addams Family film, you can stream it on Paramount Plus. You can rent it on Amazon, Google Play, Microsoft, YouTube, Apple TV, Sky Store, Chili, and Rakuten TV. And you can buy it on Amazon, Google Play, Chili, YouTube, and Apple TV. Addams Family Values, you can stream on Paramount Plus. Rent on Amazon, Google Play, Microsoft, YouTube, Apple TV, Sky Store, Chili, and Rakuten TV. And you can buy it on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, Sky Store, Microsoft, YouTube, Rakuten TV, and Chili.
Well, cara mia, is it time to...
wrap up. Thank you, as always, to Molecule for our artwork, to Jade for producing. Thank you, Francesca.
Thank you, Charlie.
And thank you for listening.
Da-da-da-dum.
Da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum.